Hello, everybody. My name is Henry Ching, and I'm here to talk to you about Arachne, our system for core aware threat management. This is joint work with my colleagues Qian Li, Jacqueline Spicer, Peter Kraft, and John Osterhout. The recent trend towards microservices in the data center has led to task lifetimes growing shorter and shorter. Low latency services such as Memcached and RamCloud can handle requests in a few microseconds. Unfortunately, in order to achieve low latency today, applications end up using cores and threads inefficiently, and this results in low throughput. The problem is that applications have no control over cores. They create threads, and the kernel schedules those threads onto cores. Arachne changes the API between applications and the system from one based on threads to one based on cores. Each application determines how many cores it needs and requests those from the system. The system allocates cores to the application, and the application then multiplexes user threads on top of the cores. By making more effective use of cores, Arachne allows applications to achieve a better combination of latency and throughput. For example, integrating Arachne into Memcached reduces tail latency by 4 to 43x and provided 37% higher throughput at low latency. Integrating Arachne into RamCloud improved throughput by 2.5x. Arachne's user-level implementation of threads is also extraordinarily efficient. For example, a new thread can be created and dispatched on a different core in about 300 microseconds. There are several reasons why existing solutions for thread management fail to provide a good combination of latency and throughput. As one example, consider the problem of building a service like Memcached or RamCloud. A naive but simple approach is to create a new thread for each incoming request. Unfortunately, this is far too slow for tasks that last only a few microseconds. For example, on Linux, it takes 13 microseconds to create a kernel thread. A common workaround for slow kernel threads is to create a fixed size pool of long-lived kernel threads and use them to handle incoming requests. Unfortunately, it's difficult for applications to know how many threads to create. We would like to match the number of threads to the number of cores, but we neither know nor have control over how many cores the Linux scheduler will give us. Create too few threads, and we'll waste cores. Create too many, and the kernel will multiplex them. This results in delays of many milliseconds, when threads are preempted in the middle of a request. One way to ensure low latency is to dedicate the entire server to a single application. The application then knows how many cores are available, so it can create the right number of threads. However, this wastes resources at low load. Unfortunately, running other applications on the machine again causes the kernel to multiplex. This is just one example of problems with today's thread management. See the paper for additional examples. The problems we just discussed are rooted in the abstraction of kernel threads, which the operating system uses to hide cores from us. Arachne fixes these problems by giving applications more knowledge of and control over cores. Arachne applications request cores rather than threads. They know exactly which they own, and they have exclusive access to those cores, so they can be sure there will be no multiplexing or other interference. With these allocated cores, Arachne moves thread management into user space. This results in an implementation that is efficient enough to be used for very short-lived tasks. Arachne consists of three major components. The first component is the core arbiter. This is a standalone process that allocates cores to applications. The second component is the Arachne runtime, which is a library linked into applications. The Arachne runtime implements fast threading primitives and exposes a pthreads-like interface to application developers. The third component consists of core policies. A core policy is a pluggable component that determines the placement of threads on cores. It also computes how many cores the application needs at any point in time. Different applications can use different core policies. Next, I will introduce how Arachne actually allocates cores to applications. Arachne uses kernel threads to manage cores, with one kernel thread per core. To grant a core to an application, Arachne arranges for one of the application's kernel threads to run on that core, and it ensures that no other threads run on that core. Applications that don't use Arachne are segregated onto a small set of cores that we call unmanaged, because the Linux scheduler manages those cores. Arachne implements this core segregation using Linux CPU sets. A CPU set is a collection of cores and memory banks. Each kernel thread belongs to exactly one CPU set at any given time, and Linux will ensure that the thread executes only on the cores in its CPU set. The core arbiter creates one CPU set for each managed core, and one CPU set for all the unmanaged cores. It allocates a core to an application by moving one of its kernel threads to the CPU set containing that core. If the application needs an additional core, as the blue application in this example, Arachne removes a core from the unmanaged core's CPU set, and this causes Linux to squeeze the traditional applications to the remaining unmanaged cores. Alternatively, the core arbiter can reclaim a core from a different application. I will discuss this process later. After squeezing the traditional applications, Arachne then grants the core to the blue application as requested. Now that we understand how cores are granted, let's go over how an Arachne application negotiates with the core arbiter over cores. When an Arachne application starts, the core policy requests an initial set of cores from the core arbiter. Assuming cores are available, the core arbiter grants the cores to the Arachne runtime. As discussed earlier, it does this by moving some of the application's kernel threads to manage cores using CPU sets. It then wakes up each kernel thread by sending a message on a socket that the kernel thread is blocked on. When the kernel threads wake up, they enter a dispatcher, which multiplexes user threads. When new threads are created, the Arachne runtime asks the core policy to choose cores for them. For example, the core policy might arrange for a polling-based dispatch thread to have exclusive access to a single core, while worker threads share a pool of cores. It's also the core policy's job to adjust the number of cores as the application's load changes. To do this, it takes advantage of statistics provided by the Arachne runtime. Currently, the Arachne runtime provides two statistics for each core: its utilization and the number of runnable threads on each core. Based on this information, the core policy determines the ideal number of cores for the application, and it notifies the core arbiter when this number changes. In this example, the application requests more cores. Just as at initialization, the core arbiter allocates a core to the Arachne runtime. Over time, new threads will be allocated on this core. If the core arbiter needs to reclaim a core, for example, to give to a higher priority application, it does so in a cooperative fashion. So the application has a chance to reach a clean stopping point and clean up before it loses the core. The core arbiter does this by setting a bit in shared memory. The dispatcher on the core sees this bit and migrates away any threads on that core. The kernel thread then notifies the arbiter that it is returning the core and then goes to sleep by reading from a socket. At this point, the arbiter can reassign the core. Next, I will speak briefly about how Arachne implements efficient cache-optimized threading. When it comes to the performance of threading primitives, it's all about cache misses. Operations such as creating a thread or waking up a sleeping thread don't take very many instructions to complete, but they require information to be transferred from one core to another. Moving data results in cache misses. A single cache miss costs 100 or more cycles, so cache misses dominate the performance of threading primitives. In designing the Arachne runtime, our primary goal was to reduce the overhead of cache operations. I will now go over two examples briefly. Please see the paper for more details. One way to reduce the cost of cache misses is to take advantage of out-of-order execution in modern processors so that multiple misses are handled simultaneously. Arachne does this as part of a load balancing during thread creation. In order to pick a lightly loaded core on which to create a new thread, Arachne must read load information from several cores. Each of these will result in a cache miss, But Arachne arranges for these misses to happen in parallel, so the total elapsed time is just that of a single miss. Sometimes it is faster to execute more instructions if that will reduce the number of cache misses. For example, most threading systems use a run queue for each core, but these result in expensive cache misses. In Arachne, there are no run queues. Instead, the dispatcher for a core repeatedly scans all the thread contexts associated with that core until it finds a runnable thread. This approach saves 3 cache miss times during thread creation. Overall, Arachne can create a new thread on a different core with load balancing in the time for 4 cache misses. Now that I've told you a little bit about our system, I will discuss a few sample experiments. As a reminder, we built Arachne to provide a better combination of latency and throughput, and to make better use of cores. The following experiments examine latency and throughput, as well as how Arachne handles changing load and background interference. Here's the cost of 2 basic thread primitives for 4 systems. Arachne is better than any system we've compared against. The closest competitor is Go, but Go always creates new threads on the same core as the parent. This is faster than creating on a different core, but it can result in load imbalances. Arachne does load balancing as part of thread creation, and it's still faster than Go. The following experiments are based on a Memcached Arachne integration, so I'll say a little about the changes we made. In the original Memcache, there is a fixed pool of worker threads, and each client connection is statically assigned to a worker when the connection is first established. In the Arachne version, we create a new user thread for each incoming request. All the client connections are handled by a single dispatch thread, which receives incoming requests and creates a new Arachne thread for each one. The number of worker cores adjusts dynamically to match the workload. The first experiment uses the Mutilate client to recreate the Facebook ETC workload. It measures latency as a function of load. There are 3 takeaways from this experiment. The first takeaway is that the Arachne version has significantly lower latency. It's 3 times better at the median and 40 times better at the tail. The second takeaway is that the original version of Memcached has higher throughput. This is because Arachne has 2 fewer cores available for processing requests. It reserves 1 core for unmanaged applications, and the dispatch thread burns a 2nd core. However, note that the original version can't achieve both high throughput and low latency simultaneously. In order to get high throughput, clients must be willing to tolerate median latencies of nearly a millisecond. The third takeaway is that the Arachne version provides a better combination of latency and throughput. For example, if an application requires 100 microsecond median latency, Arachne provides 37% higher throughput. If an application requires tail latency less than 1 millisecond, the original version of Memcached can't achieve this at any load. In the next set of experiments, we evaluate how well Arachne scales to changing load, as well as whether Arachne can effectively co-locate with background applications to enable high core utilization. Efficient co-location means that the resources not used by the Arachne application are not wasted, and the background application does not interfere with Arachne's performance. This experiment uses a modified version of the Memtier benchmark to generate read requests at a varying Poisson arrival rate. The offer load gradually increases until it reaches 1 million requests per second and then decreases again. As the load changes, you can see from the top graph that Arachne scales the number of cores to match the load. In addition, Arachne provides consistent and low latency as the load changes, both at the median and at the tail. Latencies for the original Memcached are higher than Arachne, and particularly bad for tail latency under high load. In the worst case, the original Memcached has tail latency 9 times higher than the Arachne version. We also ran this experiment with an X264 video encoder running in the background on the same machine as the Memcached server to soak up unused resources. With the original Memcached, this caused an additional increase of about 2x in both median and tail latency, even though the X264 application was niced to level 10. With the Arachne version of Memcached, there was no noticeable change in latency, either at the median or at the tail. The bottom graph shows the throughput of the X264 application when it was co-located with Memcached. The throughput drops as the Memcached load increases for both the original and Arachne versions of Memcached. However, Arachne does a better job of suppressing X264 at high load, and this helps it maintain low latency for Memcached. Overall, this experiment shows that Arachne can scale its core usage with load, and it provides strong performance isolation with respect to background applications. We ran several additional experiments. Please see the paper for these. To conclude, Arachne brings core awareness to applications. Applications request cores rather than threads, and applications always know exactly which cores they own. Arachne allows a better combination of latency and throughput, and it provides an exceptionally fast user-level implementation of threads. Thank you.
All right, we have time for questions. Please come to the microphone.
Hi, I'm Rich Draves. So conceptually, this seems similar to scheduler activations. How would you compare them?
Thank you for the question. So Arachne is different from scheduler activations in several ways. Firstly, we do core estimation, which scheduler activations does not do. We run everything purely in user space, while scheduler activations requires kernel modifications. We do not address the blocking I/O problem, which scheduler activations does do.
Thank you.
Hello, nice presentation, thank you. This is Nam from Google. One question is, you use your algorithm to estimate how much core you need. So how much over-provisioning do you need? Basically, what is the utilization after you estimated that? Because you have to have some headroom so that your application can run. The second question is, how would you deal with NUMA systems, like different cores are on different NUMA node, and could how do you envision your system to handle this situation? Thank you.
Thank you for your questions. To address the first question, in terms of the headroom you need, it is workload dependent. So we do core scaling based on both number of runnable threads and utilization. So I think for the Memcached workload, we're probably targeting around 70%, 75% utilization. But if your workload is more uniform, you can go to higher utilizations without having to pay in latency. To address your second question, the core arbiter actually is NUMA aware. So when it allocates cores to applications, it will try to keep applications mostly on the same socket and also try to allocate hypertwins to the same application first.
Peter Desnoyers, so you mostly answered my first question about the scheduler activations question. So evidently within the user space threads, you have a selector poll loop, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. I'm curious, have you looked at, I mean, part of this also seems to be an API issue. I mean, it's been ages since I've worked with Win32, but I remember, you know, IO completion ports having a mode that would essentially adjust to, you know, let enough threads out to consume the cores. And I'm wondering, have you thought at all about, you know, sort of self-scheduling mechanisms like that?
Are you talking about scheduling based on IOs completed?
No, sure there was a particular IO primitive that would dole out, you know, that would unblock threads at the right rate to use, you know, an appropriate number of cores. We could talk about it offline because it is a bit bizarre.
All right, let's take that offline. Thank you.
Right, since we have a few seconds, I can ask a question. Is there an upper bound in how much time it takes to transfer a core from one app to the other, given the cooperative nature, or is it something that enforces an upper bound?
Yes, so if an application is uncooperative, we put a 10 millisecond bound on it, and then we force it off the core. If it's cooperative, it typically takes only 30 microseconds.
Let's thank Henry.